show, everybody.
Holy shit, they actually paid attention this time.
Welcome to Friday. A little bit of a different layout today. We got a lot of people because we're playing a game. Welcome to the inaugural of what do we call it? The Backdoors and Breaches is what we're doing.
I thought we weren't swearing in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, that already. You know what, dude? I felt really bad.
Asshole.
I felt no. Stop. I felt really bad because I did listen back to our old episode, like our episode last week, and it did get out of hand. And I'm stop it. There's no like. Let's keep it. Let's tie it back to how we used to be. Like, oh, we shouldn't really do too much of this, and we should really temper it. It's gotten out of hand, especially with Brandon. Brandon's just a potty mouth left and right, and we always.
When did we do that last year? We didn't do that last year at all.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Yeah.
Listen, forking shirt balls. I don't care you have to say.
Forking shirt balls is totally acceptable. Because one day our boss is going to listen to this, and it's not going to be great for mostly me.
In our all hands on Tuesday, he was like, "Yeah, they isn't there a chat for that?" And I said, "Yeah, Sean, don't go in there.
Yeah, don't go in there.
Nothing for you in there."
And now Blake keeps changing things, and it's freaking me out.
It's okay. It's all right.
All right. Is everything fine? Okay. Like
everything's okay. Everything's okay.
You like went to
I don't know what to do with my hands.
You went to like an incognito window, and I was like, "What the hell is happening?" welcome back to the party. My name is Danny. I'm joined by, of course, Jake and some other people, and Blake and Kathy, also investigator chick. Blake Regan, of course, is at Crash Override on Twitter. And we have created our own expansion deck for, it's gotta be like an institution by now, of the Black Hills Information Security Backdoors and Breaches deck. There are several different kinds of expansion decks, and for anybody who's not familiar with this, or anybody who might be listening, this is going to be kind of a rough one to listen to if you're on Spotify, or if you're like listening to audio only. This is a very visual show, so I highly recommend if you are listening. Well, first of all, thank you. Second of all, go back to our YouTube. The replay will be up there, so you can actually see what the gameplay is like and what our cards look like. Blake has up on the screen right now. Thank you, Blake. The core deck. The ones from the Cloud Security, Den Secure, Red Canary, Huntress. Blake is hovering over them, but I'm reading them the opposite way of how he would normally hover over. Huntress, Red Canary, Den Secure, and of course the Trimark expansion pack. That is ours. That is the one we're going to be playing with today. It was a year in the making, and everybody on this call right now were the principals. Yeah, except for Deb and Jason, who walked us through it. Everybody here were the developers of this. That helped us get this off the ground. Sean had his input too, of course. But he knows better than to slum with the rest of us on a Friday. He has actually important human work to do. So we are going to be playing this game. We, of course, need an incident commander for this. I say that like I knew that all along and not something I just learned because I don't actually play this game. But yes, we need an incident commander. And that is going to be... so we had the internal people that helped develop this were Brandon, Dev, and Jake with some help with Scott and some help with Sean. But part of the process was, like, you can eat your own dog food all you want, but you also want somebody else to taste it. So we needed two outside people to come in and help sit with us for, I think that session was a couple hours, 2-3 hours, to actually say, okay, you have developed these cards. You've developed this card for the deck. I forget how big the expansion decks are, 20 cards-ish, 30. I don't remember the number. Anybody else remember how many cards are in the deck?
33.
Thank you. And say, does this make sense? Does this make sense from a technical perspective? And, of course, so we need two people who are highly technical, which, of course, Dr. Kathy Ullman. And are you a doctor?
I am.
You are a doctor. I knew that sounded right. Dr. Yep. Kathy Ullman and Senior Brigadier General Blake. God, Reagan or Regan? I always forget this part.
It's Regan.
Regan. Thank you. Blake Regan, Senior Commander General of the Allied Forces. Blake Regan. I mean, Kathy had a title, so I figured you should have one, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
And they sat with us and said, yes, this makes sense. This doesn't make sense. And also, is it fun? Are these cards fun to play? Do they serve a purpose? Do they help move the game forward? There were quite a few cards that we had in the beginning where, of course, we were laughing our idiot heads off at and thought they were awesome, but like they didn't totally move the game forward, or another like inside baseball thing is if you had a card that could only be played, and anybody who's ever played these kind of like card table based games knows, is if you can't use this card unless some other card is used first, that's also kind of no fun because you might never see it if that particular situation doesn't come to fruition. So it's a very detailed process. It took a year to make this, and now we're very happy. So I'm gonna start going over to Blake. Blake, how long does one game usually take?
So it depends, right? That's everyone's favorite answer. If you're teaching people how to play the game, which I recommend that we kind of do like a high level, this is how you play as we play it, somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes, right? That can also be dependent on this experience and skill level of people that are playing. This is a great way to help people who are new to information security learn about different types of attacks, persistence methods, exfiltration methods. And also it gives your teams, if you're doing this at work, a great opportunity to talk about the different tools that you would use. Why would one tool work better than another? So if you're like, let's get down to brass tacks and go through this incident and just fire through it, you know, you can probably do it in 20, 25 minutes. You're at the mercy of the dice. Mm. But I've had games where I've done, I think I did one online with the Black Hills community for the Backdoors and Breaches channel, where we spent 3 hours going over one incident. Ooh. Because we were just deep diving into different topics and different things. So it really, you can take it as far as you want.
So, and again, just to maybe even go more high level, if anybody who's never heard of this, this is a tabletop incident response game, right? That's what it's meant to teach?
Yes, that is what it's meant to teach, is incident response. It's based off of a game called Cubicles and Compromises, and then something called Dungeons and Dragons. You might have heard of that before.
Yeah, vaguely. Sounds vaguely familiar.
Dragons?
Yeah.
That's one of those new things those millennials are playing.
Yeah.
And that was also the spirit in which all of these decks are created. Again, some more inside baseball. Many, many, many hours go through this. Deb and Jason from Black Hills have run this, the co-creators of this particular iteration of this game, and sit on these calls. If how long they sat with us is any indication of how long they sat with everybody who has made a deck, a considerable portion cumulatively of years is probably a multi-hundred-year-old human. They sit through this and they are very good at it. We mostly have to get the fun stuff past Jason, but that's what Deb is for. and then of course Jason also reels us back in, going, "All right, idiots, like let's not do this." So without further ado, we're 13 minutes into the show. By the way, this game will play what we play. Like, I don't care how long it's fine. We don't have a hard stop. We never have one. I just do it for the sake of the audience's sanity. But however long this goes, so you are the incident commander. Do you count as a participant, or you're just the game master?
I just do the game. I guide the responders through the game with the cards, and then also kind of throw in either some injects, or maybe because a particular tool doesn't work, give a reason why. Or I'll also ask the team members, why would that not work, right? So that kind of stretches the muscle there of just kind of maybe the logs were there, but they weren't there at this time because we didn't have the right information.
So you are, for anybody who's more familiar with Dungeons & Dragons parlance, you're the Dungeon Master.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Very good. Well, let's get this party started, man. Let's figure out. Let's go play.
Sure. And do we want to? Because we talk through this ahead of time because we always do planning. Yeah. Do we want to go over some of the cards first? Some of the new cards first to kind of show off which ones we
absolutely
have?
Yeah. We can do that.
Absolutely. Okay.
Listen, so, you are now. I am now abdicating responsibility for everything but the technical back end aspects of running the show. You do whatever you think is going to be the most informational and like entertaining.
Okay, feel free to stop and ask questions along the way. Help guide this.
I got a question.
Yeah, Dev, I know you did.
Of course,
you did. Is that statement meant to shift all the blame of this show to Blake?
Let's concentrate on actually moving the show forward. Much like how
as incident commander, I can shoulder that burden. Thank you. Let's get started.
Much how we shepherd the creation of this game is doesn't move forward. Anything dev ever says does not move a show forward. So let's just cut that, and we'll go to Blake.
Yeah. And for everybody playing at home, if you're saying, where would I access this wonderful online simulator, you can go to playbackdoorsandbreaches.com. This is free. All the expansion decks are up there, so you can do this at home. And if you wanted to get physical copies of the deck, I think someone can put the link in the chat for Twitch, but that's at the Black Hills Information Security Spearfish General Store. So you can check that out and get the decks while they last. This one probably will go very quickly. All right. Without further ado, let's get started and look at some of these cards that were created recently. If the Trimark team and Kathy can help keep me honest on which ones are new and which I might confuse which one, but I think we have our initial compromise cards. Yes.
I'm sorry. I already interrupted. Was Lakeith going to be in on this? I heard his voice earlier.
If he wants to, that's great. I think he was
having lunch really late. So,
okay.
You know, carry on.
Which, by the way, I love that it's just booming voice comes over and there's no video. I didn't want to be accused after the show of being like, well, Danny started and didn't even acknowledge Lakeith. So, anyway.
Oh, no, I'm going to blame you no matter what. Yeah. It's fine, but carry on.
Lakeith, actual Dungeon Master, is going to be running our D&D campaign internally at Trimark. Like, he's the real fucking deal. Real freaking God, did it again. Real freaking deal. I'm gonna start editing this later.
Who's the worst now, Danny?
Yeah, I derailed. I'm gonna shut up. Go ahead, Blake.
So, okay. Blake, if you look in the bottom right corner, it'll say Trimark, and that's how you know our cards from the general deck.
Thank you.
Yes, and yes, it will. And if I go and close the scenario tool, it will show better right here. Trimark.
Yeah, so he's talking about if you click. So Blake, open up the initial compromise cards.
Okay, got it.
Not that one. That's the one we're supposed to find, right?
No, this is not the one. It's not my first time in the rodeo.
So the one on the left side one, I think, is the weaponized YubiKey one. I think that's one of ours.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, see in the bottom right of that card? It says Trimark on the side?
Trimark at the bottom right corner. Okay, that's a new distinction. Is that new to this deck?
No.
I haven't noticed that before.
I don't believe so.
Anyways, I think that's a small detail. So to play this game, let's kind of take a step back. So there are four compromise cards that comprise this game. We have our initial compromise. We have our pivot and escalate. We have C2 and exfil. And then we have our persistence method. So the deck is comprised of various initial compromise, pivot, escalate, C2 and exfil, and persistence cards. And so each of these expansion decks, when a company partners with Black Hills to make one, the cards are kind of tailored to what they specialize in, or new, like Red Canary, new detections that they find. Trimark, identity and Active Directory compromises and different misconfigurations. So you're going to notice that theme here with the Trimark cards. I noticed that there are a lot of new pivot and escalate cards, which definitely lines up with what Trimark specializes in hardening. So if we go and look at initial compromise, I think some of the new ones are weaponized security key, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we have time to read through all the details here, but we also have AI-generated script. I remember that one. And then we had forest trust, right? The forest is not a security boundary. So if you have a parent company and they insist on having an administrative account from their domain and your domain, and they get compromised, guess what? It's a downstream effect there. So that's always fun. Was bring your own exploited device, was that a new one?
No.
I thought that was. Nope. Okay. And then we have SSO provider compromise. That's, you might have seen Okta in the news or various other providers. That always happens. We also had cheeky teenagers, right? External cloud access.
We have the trust.
I believe compromised virtual host one was one, and corrupted employee, right?
And trust, the one above it.
And trust. Yeah, trusted relationship, right? Third party vendor. That's so huge, right? Knowing what's in your environment, knowing how your vendors integrate with you and third parties. Maybe that's in this incident. Maybe it's not. I don't know. All right. For the pivot cards, we have vCenter Council Coercion. So this one's a little complicated to explain, but really it's taking advantage of of RDP sessions and hijacking RDP sessions to get into other access. We have passwords and AD attribute. That's always a fun one. That's a great way to do cyber deception. That's a low cost way. Throw a password in an account, change its login hours so it can never log in. And then if somebody hits that account for a login, you know that something is going on. You inform your team, this should never be logging in. It's a cheap way to do cyber deception. It's also a great way to get compromised if you leave the credentials for a real account in the password attribute.
I would like
we have
to
golden
have,
tick.
I was going to say, I would like to have more like forceful critiques of people. Like the way you just said, that's a cheap way to do your security. I want somebody to be sitting in an executive meeting on a boardroom. Just be like, you're cheap. This whole thing, it sucks, and you're cheap.
It's low-hanging fruit. It is a low barrier to entry to do cyber deception.
Just scream at them. Scream at them and beat them down.
Yes, I always love our time together.
Thank you.
Golden ticket attack. What's that? You get the Kerberos, the KRBGT hash from the domain, and then you can forge your own certificates for any account in the domain and have access even beyond. Come back into the environment, present that ticket, you still have access. We have our overprivileged cloud application. So when you have those consent grant applications where they're asking for your life savings and like your grandmother's maiden name to get all that information, that can be an example of overprivileged applications that then can act on your behalf. Very common misconfiguration environments. We have our overprivileged group policy high profile GPO. So those are ways where the GPO could be changed by authenticated users. So anybody in the domain can modify that GPO. That can be abused for privilege escalation. I think this one has restricted groups to get domain administrator access. That's pretty nifty. We also have misconfigured certificate templates. This baby right here can fit so many misconfigurations in it. That's also known as Active Directory Certificate Services. That's definitely one that you want to check out. Jake, is there a tool that people can run in their environment to identify misconfiguration? Do you know about that?
Nope, not at all. No, nothing. Okay. Nothing.
I thought there was something like called, what is it, like the Keymaker?
It's Keymaker, yeah. It's Keyfixer.
It was Locksmith. That's what you can use. Okay, great.
Keymaker. We should make one called Gozer.
Yes, Zool.
Zool.
Oh, quick, that's somebody make a tool. That should be the new tool. Yeah, let me in on that one. All right, and then I believe we also had Dev, do you remember? Was there one more in here? Was it server management compromise?
Can you scroll down? Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't memorize all of these.
It's the one with the emoji right there, with the face.
With the face, yeah. So server management compromise.
You with the face.
Yeah, you, the one with the
I couldn't see the top of your card.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So a lot of good ones here, and we'll keep it moving. Just kind of going highlighting the new decks. This is I don't know if I've seen that done before with newer decks. So
Knows them, I know, based on the emojis that are all the artwork.
Yes,
the emojis. The one thing that we weren't responsible for.
I know. I'm looking at the bottom right corner. It says Trimark on it. That's all. I'm cheating.
I can't even see a screen.
Okay, that is a signifier. So living off trusted sites. Excuse me, the LOTS project. So I checked this out last night. Admittedly, for the first time, I went to this website and it really helped me understand that mostly anything inside your environment can be a trusted site, like GitHub.com or Box.com. So if you have cloud storage in your environment that you aren't monitoring or controlling by business case, when people take data out through that method, it blends in with the noise. Good luck finding that. Might want to take a look at that. We also had GIF as C2. So Dev's definitely going to be on the hook to explain this one, because this was a little beyond my, there's people that can solve Rubik's Cubes and then there's ones that can't. This is my Rubik's Cube where I just my brain goes like this. Dev, can you kind of do a high level of this one?
Yeah, sure. So with certain services providers out there, they allow you to put let's say Teams, for example, they allow you to put GIFs in chats and do stuff like that. Well, the problem is some of those service providers don't actually authenticate or validate, I should say, don't validate the actual GIF you're using. And they basically allow it to be a, what's the word I'm looking for? Allow it to pivot off of that URL and actually access the GIF so that way it could show up in there. And because they allowed you to do that, you actually can then create a spoof site where you're basically sending messages through the Microsoft server at this point and allow it to relay information for you. That's what I was going to relay. Allows you to relay the information through their server, so you're not even seeing it on your own private network, I mean your firewalls or your logs or anything like that, and allows the communication to go through Microsoft service, which is encrypted with the Teams cert, Teams system and SSL cert. So now you, there's no way for you to see what the heck is going on. And when Microsoft was contacted about it, it's not a bug.
It's a feature.
It was designed that way.
Yeah, that's pretty complicated, and that sounds very similar to domain fronting, right? Where people send their content through a content delivery network to rewrite the header, so it looks like it's coming from Adobe Cloud. And you know, again, those are ways to blend in with the noise. That and this one seems pretty nasty, to be honest.
Yeah, and the top of it is encrypted when it goes through the firewall.
Yeah.
So you can't even see the body of the URL for the GIF. It's
only the server-side identifier.
What did you just call it, Dev? For the what?
GIF? GIF? I go in between. I'm trying to make sure I appease everyone with the naming. Yes.
I will not derail. I will not derail. Keep going, Blake.
You're not derailing. That's real. Okay. Kathy, did you want to talk about some of the new persistence cards? I don't want to do all the talking here.
No, it's okay. You're doing a great job.
Okay, all right. So one of the new ones, this was pretty cool, was cloud application impersonation. So this was a new card for persistence here, where essentially there's the concept of managed identities in Azure. So a managed identity usually ties into a on-premise account that is represented as a managed identity or service principal in Azure. And if you're able to authenticate through that, you can authenticate as that on-premise account, gather the same permissions. I'm willing to bet that that's probably the latest Microsoft compromise is how that happened. Because if you read in their explanation that within a test environment, there was an account that had extra permissions into the corporate environment. That's probably some kind of managed identity between the two environments to sync things, and that got compromised, and then it just blended in with the rest. But we'll see if I'm right about that.
Ooh, you got a new subscriber. I'm sorry, the way that I'm looking at my screen, I can't see the subscriber, but thank you for doing that.
It scares the crap out of me.
It does. I love when it happens.
Yeah. I guess we're doing a decent job today. So make sure to tip your servers before you leave, okay? So we also had admin SD holder rights modification. And I know that Jim Sikora is very passionate about this one and always makes sure to say that it's a process and not a property. Jake, do you want to explain admin SD holder rights modification?
Yeah, so admin SD holder is just a combination of an object and a process that runs on domain controllers. The object has a set of access control entries on it. And about every hour, that set of access control entries gets stamped onto all groups and accounts and computers and service accounts, etc., all principles that are protected by the admin SD holder process. So, you can, if someone was to compromise a, you know, say a domain admin via ACL abuse, it would last at most about an hour. So it just kind of makes sure that those most privileged accounts are kept secure.
And would you recommend maybe add those to protected users group?
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, baby. Users group.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, daddy. Right. Well,
it's only like talking a few times like about it this year.
He knows how to trigger you or something. Group.
Yeah, it's like he knows how to push your buttons.
Blake throwing up the
skills. That's one of my skills. That's one of my skills.
I love that Lakeith's voice is just this disembodied thing that comes up.
Yes, just like it's just over all of us and just soothing us as the words come through to us. It's great. So I believe we also had, were those the only two? I see the train mark on the side. Thank you, Dev, for that insane knowledge. So cloud application impersonation and admin SD holder rights, those were the two persistence ones. I just realized that while talking through this, I probably could have been teeing these up this way. So I apologize to anybody who says I didn't get to see the cards. But if you do want to go check them out, they are on play.backdoorsbreaches.com. And if the way that you access these cards for the scenario is we close this up and we do this scenario tools. Ah, down at the bottom of the page here, there is the scenario tools and you can go to custom. And then once you're inside here, you just go to the top four categories here. There's also procedures. Did we add new procedures to this deck?
I don't believe so.
I don't think we did.
No, the only new procedure that came through was the one from the cloud deck, which was the cloud event log analysis.
Okay, and the permissions audit too, right?
And permissions audit, yep. Those both come from, oh, look, those say Trimark on them too, as I'm looking at them.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. So yeah, you can come in through here. You can see the different cards. So I do apologize that I kind of dropped the ball on that, but I know everybody will get over it.
All right. I apologize for the video snafu just now, guys. Lakeith turned his video on and it screwed everything up.
It scared everybody.
Sure, blame it on Lakeith.
Yeah.
I really get bored of blaming Brandon for everything. Disembodied voice.
I enjoyed the disembodied voice. It made us think there was a higher power watching us.
My prayers have been answered. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to start the game. And as we go through this, I'm going to just give a little, I'm going to front load this with the procedures and the cards as we do this. So if everybody has any comments they want to add in, I don't know if there's any questions that come in from the audience, if we want to answer those as we're kind of going through this at the beginning.
We will. I'm monitoring the chat in YouTube and Twitch. And in case anybody asks something, we can expand.
So, okay. Blake, do you want to just talk about, like, for established procedures, like, that's a plus three?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so the premise of the game is you have 10 turns to work through this incident. And on each turn, you're going to roll a 20-sided dice or polyhedral dice, which we are going to use the Google Dice Roller to simulate that. Now, if you have played Dungeons & Dragons, you probably have that laying around, a 20-sided die. The way the dice work is to determine if a turn is successful or not, is that a 1 through 10 is not a successful turn. 11 through 20 is considered successful. Now, there are caveats to that. When you are using established procedures, which these are the top four cards in every game, these can also be selected by the custom tools. I didn't go over that, but they're there, so just trust me. That if you are choosing one of these procedures and you roll, you get a plus three modifier on your roll. So if you roll a 7 and you're doing established procedure, you get a plus three. That's a 10. That's not successful. But if you roll 8 or above, you get the plus three. It takes you to 11. There are no additional points, at least in the traditional rules. There are no additional benefits of getting a rolling a 19 and getting a plus three. It doesn't do anything. If you want to brag about it later, you can do that. If you roll a natural 20, that is an inject. Injects, which we will do as the game goes on, are random things that can happen as part of incidents. And maybe the lead incident responder has to go to a meeting with legal. Maybe somebody powers off a server that you're analyzing. Maybe a bear attacks a power station nearby and it drops the power to your data center. Those things happen. Right. Now, if you have three unsuccessful rolls, so that means a 10 or below three consecutive times, there is also an inject for that. And I believe, someone keep me honest, if you roll a 1, that is also an inject.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So how do you keep track of the turns through the game? If you do that on the online version, there is a little progress tracker in the bottom left corner. You can decrement or increment turns based on some of the inject or consultant cards say give people three extra turns. Some of them say take away two turns. So you can use that down here at the bottom of the screen. I prefer to use the dice roller on Google. I am somewhat superstitious at times. I believe that the dice roller in this game has a vendetta against me, so I just stay away from it. And I just open up a new tab and do this. When you have an unsuccessful roll, that card needs to cool off. Each card has three cool-off periods per turn. So if you were to roll and you were to say, I want to do cloud event log analysis, and that was a 10, I, as the incident commander, would put this marker on the card. And this would let you know that you had to wait 3 turns before you could use this card again. As the time rolls on, and you say you had a successful roll somewhere else, we would mark this 2, mark it to 1, and so forth. If you have a successful roll, there is no cool-off period for that card. You can go right back after it. Not every single card up here correlates to revealing one of these compromise cards. And that is the objective of the game, is to reveal all 4 of these compromise cards before your 10 turns run out. Something that's fun with the game is to, what I like to do is ask participants to explain why was a tool successful, right? If you're doing this at work, you can say, well, we just have sent our team to training for the sim tool, and they came back and they wrote some gnarly queries, and that's why this was successful. Or, hey, we're dropping logs for our log collector because we don't have enough storage space on the disk, and so that's why the sim card was not successful. That adds a different element to the game. It also increases people's ability to learn and just helps you talk through things in your environment. If you don't have an environment and you're just getting into cybersecurity, playing with somebody who has some experience, that's a fun way to ask questions and learn new things. Danny, do we have any questions from the audience?
No.
Okay. Hopefully nobody's sleeping.
No. Everybody's just talking. And what are shims? I don't know. Ask him
shims.
That. I don't know.
Shims. Yeah. So yeah, shims. I know probably someone who's asking that. So shims are a very important part of carpentry. You use them to prop things up. Use it to fill gaps, spaces. You can use a shim to push a 2x4 through a table saw. It has lots of uses. You could use a shim to spread butter on your sandwich at lunch if you forgot a disposable knife.
You also can use a shim to inject code into an application.
You can do that. You can do an application shim. I think that's one of the cards from Red Canary. All right. Team, did I miss any of the rules or content that would help people understand how to play this game before we start?
The only thing is if for established procedures, if you have a playbook in your company that goes over one of these established procedures, you automatically get that as an established procedure.
Ah, I like that one. That is a great distinction. So even for these other procedures, that is very cool. If you're playing this game at work, which I do this with my team members and different groups to kind of demonstrate risk and expose people to incident response, it encourages people to make procedures, at least write it down. Does it have to be a flowchart and diagram from the first draft? No. But just writing those steps down so they're there in case you're on vacation or you did it 6 months ago and you forget when you have to do it again, very valuable. All right, are we ready to get started?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get excited.
Yeah. So at 4 a.m. Eastern time, March 1st at Global Corp, the SOC team gets an alert for an account lockout for a member of the systems administration team. To investigate the matter further, because the person is a domain admin, the SOC team decides to contact the person. And upon attempting to contact them, they, on instant messaging, that person appears to be out of office. So the next step is to contact that person's manager. After waiting 2 hours for a reply from the manager, the SOC was able to confirm that this person has been on PTO for the past 5 days. The SOC team escalates this matter to the incident response team to investigate further.
Call a consultant.
No, don't want to do that one.
Initiate your incident response retainer.
You're gonna want to look at one of the log. I'm trying to think which one is the best log to look at. Is the sim log one the best? There's 2 of them, I thought.
Yeah, I mean the sim's a good choice to, if you have proper logging set up. which is a thing that can go well or a thing that can go very, very poorly. But it also depends on whether this is a cloud thing or not. And do you have, I mean, there's a lot of little pieces to this.
Right. I think, so I think to help out, so Catherine makes a great distinction, right? Where do I start? Where do I orient myself? What's the best way that this administrative account, the person is a domain admin. So I think we can kind of
got it
starting. Yeah. Kind of helps clarify that there.
So we'll do symlog instead of cloud log.
Yep.
At this point, I think that would be a good choice.
That might tell us where they attempted to log in from.
I'm good with that.
Yes. And anything else related to what that account is doing, making changes in the domain, anything like that. Great call out. All right. So we're going to roll a dice. You ready? All right. So we got a 9. Now
we get a 3.
We get a 3 because this is an established procedure. So thankfully, this was successful. And let me check my notes here. See which one. Okay. Okay. So we were able to identify that through the symlog analysis that there was a misconfigured, the pivot and escalate was, there appears to be your IAM monitoring tool sending logs to the sim identifies a high volume of Kerberos relay authentication requests to a file share server using that domain account that is now locked out. Investigation in the file server identifies that it contains customer confidential information.
Not good.
So we did get the pivot and escalate of using ESC1, correct?
Yeah. So we're able to identify that. I mean, more details in the incident was we'll identify that that there was a certificate that was crafted for this domain account that was used to authenticate against the file share server, against the SIFS service to access the server.
Excellent.
Do you also want to mention that just because we use that SIM card it not only reveal that card, but it may also apply to other cards as well?
Absolutely. Great distinction. So there are the SIM card or any of these procedures can apply to multiple cards, except for crisis management, because that don't do nothing. I mean, it does, but it's not going to help you solve the incident. Let me tell you from firsthand experience.
Hey, Blake, can I ask you a question from chat?
Yeah.
Asmodeus asked,
yeah.
Are there template stories or should we write our own when playing?
So they're great. So there are template stories. I believe that on the, I can find the links after, or someone can help me out. I know that Black Hills Information Security has a GitHub repository where they have some templated stories. There is also on the Black Hills Information Security server, there is a backdoors and breaches channel that anybody can join the server, join the channel. There are groups that do games and they share resources about the different resources, the different templates. A lot of times I like to take things from the news or combine things from different smaller incidents that I want to highlight a risk inside the environment, and I put them together and make it into an incident because it actually can happen. So there's a little formula out there that works kind of, you know, and really it's just kind of creating the story and then kind of front loading the details so that you can walk people through this when they start asking questions. You've got details that you can guide them along with.
Cool.
And it's great for like if you want to train your team on a particular scenario as well. So.
Exactly. I have had a lot of success doing this at my place of employment with various teams. I've even met with them to do interviews and gather information about their environment that they want to highlight, kind of get awareness for leadership on certain things that could be improved. It's really, people love it. I mean, it's really effective. So, all right. So first roll, 1 card. Where are we going next? We identified using the SIM that there were a lot of Kerberos relay authentication request to a file server from this now locked out domain administrator account.
I'm trying to remember what the network threat hunting is. I can't.
The one with Rita?
Yeah, I barely read the cards.
It's network threat hunting Zeek Rita analysis. It's the third one in under other procedures.
Let's do this card here. Well, does that help, Dev?
Yes. That. So that one help us with the network traffic and understand where. Yeah.
I mean, I think we want to, because we know, right? Like if this were a real incident, my two cents is we'd be calling legal because we know that there's a problem and that customer data is affected, right? So like in the real world, I think I would do crisis management, but given what you just said, I'm not sure I'd go in that direction because it's not going to tell us more about what happened. I think the next thing we need to be looking for is something about it being exfiltrated and actually taken, because that's really the big thing next, right?
That's part of it. What was it? Checking the network for, do we see signs of exfiltration?
Right.
Do we see signs of access into our environment from connections that we don't normally recognize? And maybe they're using an account associated with this to authenticate. We can help identify the source IP address of that.
Kind of sounds like a firewall log review is what you're leading us to.
That could be one of them. There are so many. So many areas that we can go to. And please let me clarify this. Communication to leadership and legal and your stakeholders is very important during an incident. What I was speaking to is the crisis management card in Backdoors and Breaches. I have not seen it tied to revealing a card. I believe that may be on purpose from John Strand's kind of like, let's not make it be one, to kind of tell people to not rely on that to solve your incident.
Yep. But that's why I thought I'd just mention it. Because like in the real world, like this point, you want to start that conversation.
Yeah.
And make sure any email you send to anyone in the company, you address it as research for legal findings and stuff like that.
Make sure you're legal. I would strongly suggest to coordinate with your legal department on what they want you to do, because just because you send privilege on an email doesn't mean that it's privilege.
Yep.
You need to have a strategy that needs to be intent. It's very particular.
I personally like waiting through logs. Says legal tells you to delete the logs, because if there are no logs, there is no evidence.
There is no, you don't have any evidence to believe.
That was my previous theory.
That that comment is not a TriMark approved comment.
So I heard network threat hunting. I heard firewall log review. Did I hear user and entity behavior analytics?
I was leaning more
UEBA
towards
works for
security.
That one does everything. Let's do the firewall one though. That's just fun.
I'm down with that.
We got several turns.
Yeah. All right, firewall log review. So that is not one of our established procedures. So we need to roll an 11 or above to be considered successful.
Come on.
So
Danny, why you deleted the logs for?
Yeah.
Legal told you to delete the firewall logs, so you did.
So maybe the retention policy on the logs, maybe I don't know if we had a time frame of when those authentication requests happened. Maybe the firewall log is not retaining logs beyond a certain time period. Maybe it's in the same.
I maintain them for like 8 minutes. Is that enough time?
Yeah. It's mostly informational events from your VPN. Yeah.
Exactly.
We could in fact get, you know, we could actually go back to the SIM and be looking there, because you can use the same card over and over again.
You can.
That's right.
Absolutely. And the same and the firewall logs could be in the SIM.
Could
maybe
be in the SIM. Exactly.
Longer than they are on the console. Right?
Yes.
Provided you pay for the subscription. But it's
true.
In the storage space.
Yeah, just do like Cisco did and just buy Splunk instead.
Right.
cheaper than renewing it for themselves.
All right.
So I've heard some good conversation here. I think one of the other ones was the network threat hunting. Catherine made the distinction that, A, there's a file server that was being accessed. Did that information leave our network? That's always something important to review. And do we have anything going on our endpoints? You know, where is the source of the authentication request from that account that was accessing the file server?
Endpoint analysis is always one that that turns up stuff randomly. That's yep.
See, I can't remember if it's that one or is the endpoint security protection. And which one is it that always?
So the distinction, the distinction between that, the endpoint security protection analysis is a way of is your EDR tooling. The endpoint analysis is like jumping on a host, getting into command line, doing WMIC processware command line, like, you know, nasty stuff, quotes, bracket, tick, tick.
Oh, stop.
Oh, stop.
You're making me tick.
Yeah. Oh, since there was.
That's funny. Oh, Catherine, that was a zing.
So since funny. The sim told us that there was a particular server being accessed, why not server analysis?
Hey, who was that? Who was that?
That was the phantom.
That was the phantom. The phantom knowledge person.
Only the shadow knows.
Only the shadow knows.
Hey, dummies, why don't you do the actual work and do something smarter than what you're doing?
All right.
Server analysis. He walked past the incident response room and peeked in and said, "Hey, dummies, why don't you get the server logs?"
Hey, jag off.
You, you guys need your trash empty or?
So we're.
What's going on in here?
So we're sure we want to do server analysis? Sure.
I don't know. Sure. With the way you say it, are you sure? I don't know.
Sure. I mean, there's so many other cards right now.
That's making my GM senses tingle, right? Usually, if I ask that question, it means it's a really bad idea. So
don't say you should do it, but are you sure you want to? I don't want to tell you how. I'm going to tell you the what, right?
Is that kind of like when you asked Jake if he really was sure that he wanted to be a bard?
You can certainly try.
All right, let's do it anyway. Do it anyway.
All right, server analysis. Let's look at this card here. The ability to baseline a system and verify that it's operating in normal state. By the way, this is more than simply running Task Manager and looking for evil backdoor.exe. It certainly is. Some great tools here. Deep Blue CLI and the SANS analysis cheat sheets. If you can't remember the commands, it's okay to look them up. No one is going to judge you. Except maybe Dev.
I will.
Fine. A little bit.
Damn. 19.
19. So we're rolling hot. Woo. So that was a successful roll. But it looks like when we baseline the server, we weren't able to identify anything that stood out as not normal. It looked like either the activity was on workstations or somewhere else in the network. Server analysis was not listed as one of the successful methods there.
See, that's for the rest
of the game, I'll help you out for the rest of the game.
I think we need to do user entity behavior.
UEBA.
Always a good one.
And what would we be looking for with the UEBA tool? What would that help us do in this situation?
Weird logins from people.
Weird logins.
Just weird stuff, man.
Weird logins. Is going to look for not application or processes that are kicking off that normally don't kick off. You know,
contacting servers that don't exist or the this
logging in at times you're normally not logging in as.
Exactly.
This person on PTO. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Okay. So user and entity behavior analytics, this card right here. So we need a 10, 11 or above to be successful.
I'm good with it if we get a 10 above.
Woo! 14. Hey! All right. So we were able to identify that there seemed to be a persistence method with a cloud application that was tied to a managed identity. Since this account was a domain administrator, it was tied to a couple service principles in the environment that were also mapped as managed identities in Azure as part of the application that the company.
Jake's like, I've never seen that before.
This is making me just very viscerally ill right now.
Right. This is so common. I guarantee it's probably.
Why are you doing it,
folks? Don't use the same domain admin credentials that you do on-prem. In the class.
Yes. Separate the accounts. You can have an A account.
But then how is my password manager going to automatically fill it in there?
Well, you just sync it to your personal one outside of work. so that when your personal computer gets owned, they have all your work credentials and your MFA one-time pad. How about that?
Oh, no, I'm not using a real pad. I'm using a Chrome password manager.
Oh, yeah, the one with the Pappy. Okay, got it. It's a security.
It's password protected. It's fine.
All right. So we're doing all right. We've got 6 turns left. We're probably, you know, this incident started out at 4 a.m. It's probably 6 p.m. right now. We probably need to order some Jimmy John's. People probably need to be drinking water. They're, you know, some people trying to go home because they got to take the kids to baseball practice. Like, your team's starting to break up for the evening, but you haven't really kind of contained this yet. Kind of just found some bad stuff. So
yeah, maybe you only got 4 minutes left in the stream.
That's right.
No, like I said, we're good to go over that. The absolute hard stop is at 3:30 Eastern. That's the absolute hard stop.
We're close. Yeah, we're close.
I feel like we should call a consultant just to see what consultant.
Oh yeah, let's call a consultant.
Oh,
and let's just look at the consultant cards.
Yeah. So the consultant cards. All right. I didn't pull.
We don't have to roll for that.
We're gonna roll. So we're gonna roll and see if it's successful. I'm teeing it up.
Oh, okay.
He's getting there, Dev.
You ready?
I thought I was playing it wrong the whole time. Am I the only person
around here that cares about the rules? Interesting. All right. And a 3. So that was not available. They were not available.
This guy consultant.
Yeah. They had an out-of-office responder. It seems like every time you email them, they're on vacation. You're wondering, how do you get that kind of PTO package? So, yeah.
And yet, that email to them still counts against their billable hours, and you just lost an hour.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It's a shame.
So you got.
I love that. I love the discount. The discount consultant is still broken.
Yes.
So you have to put a 3 on the call consultant?
The 3 has to, you got to put the 3 on the.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't go on top.
No. On the call a consultant.
Oh, left. You got it. Yes.
There you go. There.
An outer space.
All good.
Yep.
Cool. We have a new incident commander.
It's a team sport. Hey, it is a team sport. That's right.
Right.
Okay. So let's review. We have found activity of privilege escalation. We found activity of a persistence method that was tied to that escalated, that account that privilege was escalated from. So we're kind of confident that they may not be able to get back in, but we got to find out how they got in first place, right? We found the kind of trap door that they set for us. Oh, and by the way, when you reset the credentials for your application, now your application went down. So now you've got a P1 IT outage that you have to deal with and coordinate with leadership.
Did we just lose a turn for that just for fun?
That's just the added bonus.
What team are you on, Jake?
That's just the real world talking.
That's just, right. Yes.
It's not an inject card.
Inject Jake.
Oh, yes. Man. So we got to we have to find the exfiltration method. Catherine called that out early on. And we got to find the initial compromise.
Endpoint analysis.
Endpoint. Did you say endpoint security protection analysis?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Obviously, yeah. Okay. Blake.
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that one. So that's this card right here. So again, we got to roll 11 or above. But Brandon is his beard is growing stronger than mine, so I think we got a good chance. 12.
Hey.
All right. Yeah. Woo. All right.
I'm glad we're not.
So we were able to. Yeah.
Just like Brandon to roll just above the bare minimum.
Yeah. So
damn it.
Yeah, I know. So it was. So we go back when you interviewed. We talked to the hold on here, I got my notes here. So someone from the service desk created a ticket and said that they were getting a lot of weird GIF messages from the regular account of this admin. They just had like all these memes in their chat, and they tried to reply to them and say, hey, you know, these are funny, but can you stop? It's bothering me. And then they just muted the chat. The person didn't respond. They kept sending the GIFs. So they just muted the chat. This was like 2 weeks ago. And you kind of just got this ticket got brought to you. So when you went and did your endpoint security protection analysis, you were able to see a lot of communication going out through Teams, like even at hours that the person was not working. And this was the gifts as C2, as Dev so eloquently explained at the beginning of the.
Jake, I think we're going to have to quit our team game that we do with the auto chats.
Right?
Is this a C2 or is this just a script?
Yeah. When it's dead, you never know.
We actually try to communicate with each other with the AI-generated auto responses in Teams, just exclusively. Okay. It does not work well.
Yeah. Whoever can't get an auto response loses automatic. All right, so now we just got to find an initial compromise.
Yes, I gotta flip the card over. My bad there. Okay, so we're doing good. We got four turns. So we found how they were getting information out and how they were getting access, part of how they were getting access back to the environment. We still have to find that initial compromise. I think this one's going to be a doozy when we find it.
This sounds like a corrupted employee to me.
Ooh, you think?
Yeah.
I feel like it's have we gotten any knowledge about our parent company? Do we have a parent company?
No, this is just a global company. This is just just Global Corp. So this is One Forest Flat Network. You gotta love it. Because that allows you to integrate faster with acquisitions.
Don't worry about Jake, it's his first day here at the company.
Yeah.
And after this is last.
What a first day. You wanna do the sim again?
What if it's all Jake? What if Jake's the guy that's all this?
Corrupted.
It looks like we got some information about the persistence method. It says they're telling us that it looks like, it looks like there was access from your guest network with this managed identity.
Yeah.
And because your guest network was part of your corporate network, your conditional access policy considered it as trusted IP space.
UEBA.
Maybe they were sitting out in the parking lot just owning it the whole time from the guest network.
Tricky.
Okay, UEBA. This one's two. Yeah. UEBA.
Can we do it again?
Really? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was good. Yeah, we did it once, didn't we?
Yep.
Yeah.
I still didn't do the network, though. We didn't really do a thorough network. We've done some network review, but we still need to identify.
I think the Rita is the best option.
Let's do some Rita.
Let's do some Rita. All right. Okay. Let's do some Rita. All right.
Come on. I think last time we tried to do it, we get a good roll.
Ladies.
What? God.
That's an inject. All right. This is rough. Card. This is how it goes. Let's remove.
This is why we don't let Jake roll.
I know. Inject. All right. All right. Bam. Ghosted by AV.
God damn it.
Yeah.
A recent unverified update caused all endpoints to alarm on false positives. As useless antivirus is as good as no AV at all. Do you shut it down or do you keep it running while sifting through the noise?
This card don't seem like it could be possibly real there, Jake. What AV would do this?
A -3 modifier. Okay. I think we're in good shape. As the incident commander, I can tell you that this card won't impact us. Because we should choose cards that are not endpoint security protection.
Avoid.
Check. And I would not shut the AV down at this point. I would rather write a better filter in the logs than shut it down at this right now.
That problem is a tomorrow problem.
All right. Did someone say firewall log review?
Yeah,
I like that idea.
I did a while ago.
But we did that on a previous turn, but I think that was a good one to do. Let's go ahead and roll the dice here.
God,
this is a cursed dice.
That's two in a row.
This is his best dice. One.
That's rough. Like,
you guys better let me roll.
All right.
I think we need to do a call.
What's the other one? We had. Rita was not successful, though, right? So this is actually three. This is two. Okay. Yep. So this is now what we call a pickle. Because these two cards with our two
turns, the ones we remaining need.
Are the ones that are we need. So do you want me to flip the card over and just...
Call a consultant.
Okay, cool.
It might help us.
Never give up, right?
Yeah.
Let's see if they're going to answer this time. All right. Do we want help? Rolling badly? There you go. All right, we're gonna roll the dice. Literally.
Get a plus come 10. On,
come
plus
10. On.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right.
All right. All right. Ready? Bam. Oh,
we got it.
God damn it.
Yes. Yes. This is how it works. Except it's the C2.
We already have it.
I'm going to modify the game because I'm the incident commander and I can do that. And we're going to flip over the initial compromise card. So this was a BYOD, bring your own exploited device. So it looks like we were able to trace those authentication attempts to the file server and identify that there was some activity coming from our VPN using the credentials of the administrators, the regular account, their commerce account, just for email and Teams and such, on a non-domain join Windows device. And after checking your configurations, you find that this device was not in your EDR. It was not in your content management database. So it's not a host that you manage. And this seems to be the way that you allow contractors and third parties to access your environment is just with a VPN certificate and valid user credentials.
Can you click on the card? I just want to see what I think the detection was only 2, right? Or was there 3 for that one?
It was 2 for this one.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
The 2 we needed.
Yeah.
Right.
The good thing we called Dev. Saved the day.
We did. And they were able to pull some magic, and we were able to work the GIF back. The GIF communication got worked back to that bring your own exploited device that was not part of
it. I love the tools explanation at the bottom.
There you go.
They're completely asinine belief that somehow allowing people to bring their own devices is a worthy cause.
I think I kind of delivered that point with this scenario. Huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Man. So this is what happened when you get Tyler to bring his own computer to work.
And I think that to make matters even worse, the host name of the device was desktop-fafo. Salt on the wound there. All right, that was a good. A good way to show. You know, the game can go long, it can go short, depending on the conversation, depending on the deciding through. I think the teams did a fantastic job talking through the different methods available, why one would be better than another, kind of orienting them through the incident, and then also, you know, the incident commander. In this case, there were a couple cards that if firewall log analysis or Rita was successful would have revealed them, and at that time you can kind of guide the incident saying, well, what, based on the information that I gave them already, how do I want to kind of guide the direction, right? Or do I want to give them a hint and help them out with one card? Do I want to just give them something obscure? So many different ways that you can take it. So I had a lot of fun. Thank you for
dude, Blake, that was awesome, man. Thank you for being our incident commander.
Awesome.
I think we should do this again. I think we should do like we should make this like a monthly special episode.
I was gonna say, yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about getting anybody from the chat that's interested in doing that? Ping somebody on Twitter or in Signal or otherwise.
Yeah.
For anybody in chat who wants to play, find me, either find me or DM at Trimark Security. That's actually better. DM at Trimark Security. DM on Twitter is stupid because it doesn't let you do it unless you follow each other. So tag Trimark Security. I'll see it. And then I'll get with you and you could come on the next show. I really like the idea of this. Blake, would you want to be our incident commander next time?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can. I don't know if Catherine wants to be. I know she's fantastic. She does IR and has for a long time as well. So, but if you want,
she just shook her head like, I don't want to do that.
She shook her head.
Not with these guys.
Yeah, it's that I don't have the level of experience. But Blake, I'd be down with like doing it as a co-team or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, well, then I'll reach out to you. Let's collaborate on a couple ideas of. of incidents to make. Okay. I actually have another one that we were going to do, but we ran out of time.
You know what? To celebrate, let's do this. Okay. This is a great idea. For this entire year, we're going to do this once a month. And to celebrate the release, because we released this in January and we waited till March to do this one. So for the rest of the year, once a month, we're going to be doing a Backdoors and Breaches game. And whenever Blake gets sick of being into the commander, we'll get somebody else to be into the commander.
Yeah, I think it'd be great to have people that, you know, I think it'd be awesome to have Litmos come on and do the
incident.
I know she'd
have some diabolical incidents to share.
Nation state level. Yeah.
No, this was so much fun, dude. Thank you so much. And everybody who was in chat, Shark and Ginger Hacks and Wading Through Logs and Skew, thank you everybody for joining. Again, we had the link again, if somebody could post that real quick, of the link where you can get and play this online.
Oh, yeah.
There are other expansion decks, as we mentioned earlier. If you go to a conference where Black Hills is at, or go to a conference that has any other vendor that has a deck, like the Huntress deck or whatever, they'll most likely have those decks. You can purchase them if you want. They're also downloadable for free. You can make your own. That's fine, too. They wanted this to be as accessible as possible. And I think really the price for the decks just really covers the shipping.
The price of the deck, every time you buy a deck, they actually take the profits and buy decks to give out to people for free.
To give out, yeah. I know if you're someone who's an educator, you can reach out to Deb and Jason or Black Hills, and they will send you decks to share with the people that you're...
Well, it's even nicer than I thought that it was. So, yes, you're not just giving Black Hills more money because, like, here, vendor, take more of my money. There actually goes back into giving it to other people, which is awesome. We're going to do this once a month. We'll have new incident commanders. If you thought this was fun and you want to play with us, absolutely, we'll include you. As always, to pay the bills a little bit, head over to TremarkSecurity.com, check out all of our services, which is on Active Directory, Microsoft Cloud, and virtual infrastructure assessments. We also have Trimark Vision, just came out, new product. Go check that out, TrimarkVision.com. And we got a bunch of content, right? Like, this is like part of it. We go to like hub.trimarksecurity.com, has all of our blogs, follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff. And then we will be back again next week. We have some bills coming on, I think, right? Is Bill next week? Or somebody's coming on.
Which
next
bill?
Week.
Which bill? There are several bills.
I forget now. I gotta check my hold on. Let me check my calendar real quick. I don't want to give him short shrift because he did sign up. It's actually on my calendar. This is Danny vamping, so I can give time for my shit to load. Next Friday is nobody. It's the one after that. Wait, hold on. Yes, I don't know. There's nobody. Okay.
The well-organized Danny.
I'll figure my shit out.
You know what? You're right, Danny. This goes a lot smoother when you run it.
Yeah. Hey, at least they'll be able to hear this afterwards.
Oh, snap.
So for myself, Jake, Blake, Kathy, Dev, Brandon, and Lakeith, the voice from above, thank you all for watching.